Hope everybody had a great weekend. Welcome. It's the Lakeland Sports Guys podcast. Tom Caro with you. We've got Chris Cox over here on my left, Stan Spivey on my right, the coach. And we are at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. We invite you to come on by anytime, Mondays through Friday, for some of the great food that they have here. Live entertainment Thursday, Friday, and Saturday to go along with all that. But, guys, what a weekend we had. The NFL draft got underway, and, you know, Chris and I battled back and forth over, I can't believe they made that pick. Why did they do that? And then the classic was pick number 32, Xavier Leggett, as Carolina somehow managed to get into the first round with all of that. And I was just, I was flabbergasted. I was like, how are they going to screw this up? I mean, they screwed up the last couple of drafts under Temper. Well, they got, I think, a good one this time in the first round. So congrats to them. But Chris, you know, your weekend went pretty well, I guess, huh?
It's fine. Nothing to brag about. Oh, I'm trying something new. All draft, man, everybody had their shades on. It's dark as the devil in that place. I'm like, maybe I can see better like this. But this is my McAfee look now. My the rest of Herb Street and all had their shades on, the aviators. It don't help. So let me take mine back
maybe
off.
Maybe they had their eyes dilated before they went in. I don't know.
They, well,
it's probably from that liquid dilation that they had.
Because they were.
Imagine.
That's what we joked about. Stan's the one that alluded to it about the. You hear every story, and I'm like, yeah, I read about that. Yeah, I saw that before. But the one I hadn't seen was about Spencer. And I should have looked at it when he came to Carolina, and I didn't. And I gave that kid a lot of grief. Well deserved, by the way, but still. Perfect situation for him, yes or no?
I think so.
I do, too. I think the only team he would have gone to where he's going to get the best shot at actually playing is Dennis Allen at New Orleans.
He could have had a good shot at Minnesota. I mean,
yeah.
And they got, like I said, they got the worst rating of the whole draft because of the J.J. McCarthy pick.
Yeah.
It was a C-. And I thought to myself, I mean, that's who I told you, I'll be known Thursday last week, that's who I wanted. I mean, why not take a guy that's 27-1 as a starter? I don't care where he played for as a head coach. He still played Big Ten. I know that's not the SEC, but one loss in his starts. I mean, I thought that's who we should have went with, but we're gonna see about Drake. They love him. They seem to love him about whenever they pick
him. Your Patriots do.
Well, you can always get Carson back next year.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing. He's going to be great. And you know, I guess I'm okay with Drake. I just don't. Stan and I talked about last Thursday going back to the big city that I don't consider like Mac Brown and his quarterback. That's not a quarterback whisperer school to me. We saw how Sam Howell did last two or three years with Washington and the Commanders. And I mean, Brady couldn't have done anything there either. So I shouldn't gripe about it. But the history of the family is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Mom, dad, 3, 4, 5 brothers he's got that all have played pro sports. And two or three of them walked on in North Carolina, basketball, football, baseball, I mean, and have won championships other than Drake May. That's why I'm not excited.
Well, so, who are you excited about that did well in the draft? I mean, which team did the best? Which team probably just needs to find somebody else to start picking people?
I thought Joe did well.
The Bears did. I was impressed with the Bears. Did the best that they've done in a couple of years.
We talked about it, and we gave Caleb a lot of crap, and I'm going to continue to give it to him. I don't care if he's won a Heisman. That's irrelevant. I just didn't like the fact that he told the coach and the owners that you draft me, you got to draft who else I want. And they did. And we saw that first round with one pick and nine. And I will say this. Romo Odunze from Washington will be around long after Caleb Williams will. So for them to get the 9 pick and take Romo Odunze, Caleb Williams might all get on the draft board because I don't think he'll be playing quarterback.
Well, I think Caleb Williams needs to be pushing that owner to put a roof over that building because he isn't coming from Southern Cal. He is not going to like playing in that snow and cold weather. And that to me,
they got
was
a new indoor
not,
building coming. I mean, is
that's a practice facility though. You can practice in that all day long, but come Sunday when it's minus 10 degrees and blowing snow,
they're gonna raise the roof
that.
Still, they're gonna be playing in this building that you're talking about.
Yeah, they're gonna. I mean,
it's a new stadium,
it's a whole new stadium.
Soldier Field,
the taxpayers elected not to pay the. the sales tax or whatever that they got. They elected not to do that. So,
we'll see
what comes of it. But
I love the old stadiums, though. I'm old school.
Well, and Soldier Field has got a lot of history that is there, and you know the younger generation, they're pushing for the new stadium, whereas the folks like me that grew up in the ice storm. You know, Super Bowl
Lake
and all that stuff.
Snow and
that stuff. I mean, that's football.
Well, we're getting away from playing football in the northeast now because of all the dome stadiums and whatnot. But I didn't understand the pick. I really thought there were better quarterbacks out there that they could have taken.
Well, your man went second.
I think this guy – you know, Williams is going to be Williams, and if the owners and the coaches are willing to put up with all his fanatics, I don't know. I think he's going to be more interested in other things than he is football. And he's got to remember who's signing that paycheck.
I forgot his size. I was thinking – I got him reversed. I was thinking that he was like 6'4", 6'5". That's Jaden Daniels, who did go two, which is Stan's guy. And that's another team, Tom. I thought that the Bears did really well. I think Washington did a really good job coming off everything they've gone through with the Snyder era, 2 years ago, a new owner, and coming in. I thought it did really well. Jaden Daniels, they got some really good players in the first round. And like I said – I love 4, 5, 6, and 7 because it's just you zoom through it. You can take a nap and miss everything with a draft, which is what you're going to talk about right there. But and then my third pick, I think it's a wasted pick. But I hope I'm wrong. We'll see.
We'll see. Who was the worst at picking? Do you think?
I think we were. I think Gerard Mayo and Robert Kraft. I think that we knew it though because you and I talked about it.
Now, you got Drake May. Thursday. Come on now.
Well, that's my first problem. And I want to be wrong about it. I mean, I do. But, I mean, you got a quarterback that's won a national championship in Mac Jones. That's who Drake May is going to have to beat out. I mean, I don't know that he can beat him out if he's got a fair shot at it. I think it's kind of like New York Jets. What's the kid's name that they traded? Zach Wilson. And then they're bringing in Nicolas Cage. They did everything in the power over 2 years that they never did for Zach Wilson that they're going to do for Aaron Rodgers to let him go out a winner.
Yeah.
If they had done the same thing with Zach Wilson, they would win the same way. I'm just going through the picks now, just seeing. I mean, Chargers, you know, with new coach and Harbaugh, and they go get Joe Alt, a center, with their first-round pick. Giants got Malik Nabers from LSU, great player. And there were just guys that just – we talked a little bit off air about the Atlanta deal. I think Atlanta did well with their with the overall draft. I'm not saying Penix, but I'm saying the overall draft, I think they did pretty good.
Yeah, if you take Penix out of the equation, I would agree. And I think that, you know, to me, Penix is going to be a waste of money. I just don't see him being the long-term solution. I heard something. One of these four-letter network analysts had gone back for like the last 10 years and took like the top 10 draft picks of each draft. And how many of those top 10, what percentage do you think signed a second contract with the team that drafted them?
It's low.
It was 43% of them.
Wow.
So you're talking 4 out of 10 are going to sign a new contract with the same team that drafted them. And it doesn't matter what position. And then they started breaking it down by position. And you saw that quarterbacks, running backs, they were way down here. The linemen seemed to be the ones that seemed to kind of hang around a little bit longer. The running backs, we all know they had a dime a dozen, and they come and go like opening and closing a door. But and the guys were talking, this is what does not make sense to them. Why do we want to go out here and give this unproven quarterback all this money, and he's not going to be here in 3 years? Let's go out and give us an offensive lineman that'll be here in 10 years that we'll have to renegotiate his contract and give him more money. Put that quarterback down there at round 5 where we can pay him half what if he's still around. If he's not, oh, well, he's not going to win that many games against us, you know.
We joked about the first 6 of the 12 first picks from quarterbacks.
Yeah. And how many of those 6 do you think will be in the league 3 years from now? Well, with the same team.
I'm going to give you the ratings they gave them, but I'm going to tell you why I have always liked Bo Nix and you didn't. I have been telling y'all for 2 or 3 years, this kid reminds me of a former pro quarterback, and I couldn't think. It wasn't TB12. And it was Nick Saban, which I liked his commentary on the draft. He hit it from players that I tried to recruit that let me down to guys I think are going to really be solid. He just wasn't talking about
it. Well, it was from a college aspect and not an NFL aspect.
Right.
Bo Nix, I mean, he called Bo Nix the next Drew Brees, and that's the quarterback I think Bo Nix can be in the NFL. Problem is he went with Drew Brees' old coach and Sean Payton in Denver, and there's no line play. So he's going to struggle right off the bat because he don't have the line that you need in Denver. But I knew it was a quarterback that he reminded me of. Every time he stepped back, he's got that height. He's 6'2". He's 222. Well, he's 217 on this. But I also expected them to take Brock Bowers at tight end instead of Bo Nix at quarterback. And then I think you texted me like, this is your draft. I'm going to bed. When are you going to pick a defensive guy? And we waited. And we waited. Yeah. And we waited. Yeah. And we waited for a defensive guy to get picked. And like I said, I mean, there's some really picks that you wouldn't know. I mean, well, I take that back because, no, never mind. He is an offensive lineman.
you got to go down.
How about Amarius Mims? He's a kid out of Georgia, offensive tackle. He got a B-. He goes to the Bengals and got booed. So, this kid's good. I mean, 6'7", 340. That's a lineman, Stan.
Yeah.
That's a lineman you got to feed.
Well, but you got to look at the quarterback that they have, too. They have a set quarterback. So it makes sense for them to go out and get us some offensive linemen, defensive linemen. We can build for the future. We can get us a quarterback next year or the year after. We're set with our quarterback.
And so that's the reason Atlanta took Pennants, because they said next year's quarterback draft wasn't going to be near as good as this year's, which
I don't know about all that.
Carson Beck will be coming out.
Yeah. And so will DJ. So
DJ? Yeah. I mean, it's going to be. Yeah. But your first defensive player was the kid we were joking about, Laiatu. Mm-hmm. He's going to be an outright stud for the Colts. I'm just telling you right now. You're talking about a 6'5 edge rusher, 265 with the speed he's got. That's why Chip Kelly was an offensive guy doing pretty good at UCLA, because the defense was so good. And then you had your run, Tom Carroll. Byron Murphy, Texas. Dallas Turner, edge rusher from Alabama. I mean, and then it just became that. And the best one as a guy that you'd seen play is Jared Burst from Florida State. Rock solid at linebacker. He goes to the Rams. My story, though, was Troy Fonte, who's an inside-outside lineman on the offensive line from the University of Washington, that cried on camera because his team picked him, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he kind of like a Kenny Pickett. He's like, his mama said, well, you're not supposed to cry on real TV. He said, this is real TV, and I'm finna get paid. I'm crying because I'm getting paid by my team. And those are the kind of ones you want. Chop Robinson, he's a decent player, but I'm just trying to find one that just stuck out, that just was that great guy, which I got right here. Hold on. Quinyon Mitchell, Philadelphia, from Toledo. Remember who else played for Toledo? There was a defensive back from Greenwood?
That was Best.
Best. That's right.
Byron Best.
That hadn't been that far back. And, I mean, for him to get that, you see I got a little asterisk beside it, because Philly went off the board and they said, you know what, we got a lot of studs. We're going to get us a defensive back. I mean, it's a good draft, I mean, all in all. And I watched a good bit of it. I just didn't see the pick you sent me about. But I fell asleep before Leggett gets drafted. And I responded today. You're probably like, of course you're going to say that. It's already over with now. And I was like, I really haven't looked it up. So, but we'll let you continue with it, because we had locals, a couple local.
Well, before we get to that, we got to talk about America's team, because there are Dallas Cowboy fans everywhere around.
All right, Coach Crows, I'm going to tell you, man. I was glad to get the message from Coach. He's on the way to Charlotte. He's going to try to find another route. And I'm hoping, and he's hoping, that's what Steven, I can tell you what I did see with that draft. Jerry was in the corner like you are. Well, I don't know why you put Seth in the corner like that. Steven has taken over this team. His son, Steven Davis, has not Stephen Davis. Stephen has taken over this team, Jones. And I think it's a good thing. They didn't do anything pick-wise. It's proud of your boy, Nate Wiggins from Clemson. Good pick. Goes to a good team with the Baltimore Ravens, isn't that right?
He's with the Ravens, yeah.
So, you know, all in all. But I would say probably the two worst teams picking were the Patriots and Dallas. I didn't see where they did a whole lot. Did they needed to do? I mean,
well, Dallas went with mainly offensive line,
yep,
and linebackers and corners. I mean, that's, I don't know if that was where they needed them.
That's where you start building your team from. And they had a few running backs down there. They've got a few receivers, maybe not the household names. The quarterback situation I still don't care for, but, you know.
It's one more year.
Maybe it'll one more year, you know, give me one more year.
It's a quarterback world, man. It's a game change. I did cry, though, Tom Girl. My Patriots had a chance to go back with the Wes Welker picks and all of this, and they trade the dagblame. I didn't use that word when I was looking at it, but they trade the dagblame pick to San Diego, and they took Ladd McConkey from Georgia.
Yeah, I was about to say.
That was the pick that New England needed, that Drake May needs.
Yeah.
Is a kid like McConkey who is so fast off the line, fairly big kid. I mean, he's 6 foot, so he's not tall, but he's got the speed to burst off that line that's going to get by anybody. And we don't have that player on that team like that. And to send him to, you know, the Chargers just hurt me. And then I thought about it. I was like, wait a minute, I know that name that they couldn't say. You know what I'm talking about from Clemson? He went next. Say his name. Rook.
A Roro.
Yeah, I love the fact that poor, what's his name? Oh, gosh, I just called his name. Played at Michigan. That was on the commentary. He's like, Kirk, I'll give you this one. And when I saw it, I was like, hey, that's Clemson. But here's the thing. New England didn't do what we need to do, but the teams that are in our division did. I think Jets did well. I think Miami did fair. But the Bills, to have lost what they had lost at receiver, at line, I mean, they went with Keon Coleman, probably the best receiver in the ACC last year for Florida State. I thought that was a great pick. I thought the pick with the quarterback, he was crying too, the one that broke his leg. What, Jordan Travis?
Yeah.
He got drafted. He was crying, and I mean, he was excited. But to me, McConkey, man, when we let that guy go, I was upset.
So. All right. Well, Clemson and Carolina both had, 7 in total?
Yep.
That ended up going into the NFL draft. Will Shipley, the running back. You also mentioned Wiggins and Aroro to go in that. Who else did we have? Xavier Thomas, yep, defensive end, yep, ended up going to the Cardinals. Here's something I didn't know about the Cardinals, though. That's the 16th Clemson player that they've taken.
And we talk about the Falcons and the Panthers.
Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, that's dating all the way back to 1939.
And maybe the best pick of the draft in Marvin Anderson Jr., in my opinion. Great, great receiver.
Then the Eagles took Jeremiah Trotter to go along with that.
I know Mr. Pickney's happy.
Yeah, he's very happy there. Tyler Davis ends up going with the Rams. Defensive tackle that is there. We mentioned Nate Wiggins, 30th pick overall, going to the Ravens, and Aroro, second-round pick, ended up going to the Falcons. So he'll be playing a little closer to home here. For South Carolina, took 149 times that he had to sit there and watch and not have his name called, but 150th time, Spencer Rattler gets his name called. This one, and you mentioned going to the Saints, probably a good fit that is there. He'll get a chance to play behind Carr.
All right, I gave this kid so much hell through his Carolina days, and it was strictly because we didn't have an offensive line, and I don't know what they got in New Orleans. I got a good friend in Beaufort that I did call, and he never called me back to check on this deal. But I'll say this right now, Stan, if he can't beat out Jameis Winston, I was right about Spencer Rattler.
Oh, he should fly.
It shouldn't be a contest. Yeah. It should be a contest.
Fly, but no contest.
It should be like tomorrow in the transactions that Jameis Winston's going somewhere else. I mean, you got to go ahead and give this guy the shot. This is a shot. This reminds me of quarterbacks of the past in Columbia that didn't get the shot they should have got. Yeah. The Tannehills. And this is a team, Dennis Allen, and he seems to give everybody a shot. That's what I like about him as a head coach. And he's a defensive-minded guy to be a head coach. But all in all, I'm telling you, you could see Spencer Rattler in the next 2 years.
Yeah.
I think Derek Carr, his career's over.
His career's winding out, but that can be good for Spencer because he can learn from him.
Well, you need the 1 year. I've always said that.
Teach me what I need to know to take your place because I know you're going to be retiring and you can be my backup next year. I'll be your backup this year. You be mine next year.
Yeah, and Winston pretty much is the writing on the wall for him after the fact that he didn't do what the coaches told him to do.
Well, what he did last year, I think that's still fate. And he may not be on that team. I don't know that he – I know that he was as of when he made that – decided to call his own plays and run the squad. That could have done it for him.
By training camp, by the end of training camp, Winston may not even be on the team. He may not make the team.
All right, the fourth pick of the sixth round, your Patriots ended up taking Carolina corner Marcellus Dial. That's going to be a huge.
Because
that took us from an F to a D.
that's a big-bodied corner. I mean, this guy's 6'2", 6'3".
They can play three positions.
They can play, yeah.
He can play linebacker when
he did. And he was a cover corner. I mean, in last season – teams did not throw his way, and there's a reason they didn't, and that's why the Patriots took him.
He's been known that would be one of the guys that would go from Carolina. And I'll give Mayo credit on that one, but that wasn't a hard pick because that's who he kind of reminds me of. I mean, Mayo played linebacker at New England, but bill-wise and size-wise, I mean, and I was excited for that one, so I guess that pick also excited me for the Patriots. But one before that I really liked was the Panthers. They took Jonathan Brooks after a broken leg at Texas. And just him coming out and he says, well, they tell me that my coach tells me that I'm going to have to run the ball really hard because I don't have the line again this year. And he was joking and he's like, his coach is right there like. But what he did was you went on down in the later rounds and you pulled out some offensive linemen.
Yeah.
And that's what I need to see New England do. I need to see a lot of teams do that. And we didn't see it. And that's when you get your players. Well, that seventh round, I love how fast it did. If the whole draft lasted that long, it'd be perfect. That first night lasts 2 to 3 days itself.
Yeah. Gamecocks also take offensive lineman Nick. Now, tell me if I get this right. Gargaglio?
That's the one from Yale.
Yeah.
Yep. That transferred. He's going to the Broncos. And then we mentioned wide receiver Xavier Leggett, the X-Man, taken in the first round by the Panthers at number 32 to go along with all that. So, congrats there. We've also got some folks that were unrestricted free agents, but, none bigger than the one right here from Greenwood. And, of course, if you haven't heard, I don't know where you've been since Saturday because the news got out and it spread quickly. So, Sam Pinckney, what a great pickup. He's going to be going to Carolina trying to make the team up there. He and X-Factor should be a fun matchup, particularly if you can get both those guys on the field.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you can figure a way
to get both of those on the field at the same time.
Yeah, if you can put one on one side, one on the other, man, that's going to open up. Then you got a running back like Brooks. I mean, your offense changes. And I think that helps Bryce Young, who is a good runner from Alabama. He didn't forget how to play football, Stan, at Alabama. He didn't forget. Mac Jones didn't forget. Well, he just didn't have the line.
Well, and plus this gives him two big targets to throw to. We all know Sam can high point the ball. We know the Leggett can do the same thing. They can make the circus catches, but they can also catch the ball and get yards after catch. And they're both what you'd call just kind of sneaky fast. As big as they are, they don't look like they're moving that fast, but all of a sudden the DBs and all are 5 yards behind them because those long legs, they get them going and they stretching the field out.
And they got really good hands. Leggett's hands are great. Sam's hands are great. They're a lot alike if you look at, size and build. I mean, but the thing about it is, we watched Leggett forever, and then we watched Sam a good bit at Georgia State and then at Coastal. But it's a great pickup. I know that every time I text you, every time I said, Mr. Pinckney, I look down the best available, and Philadelphia needs a wide receiver. I was like, that's it. He's going to the Eagles. And 20 straight times he didn't go to the Eagles, and I was like, at this point in time, you're just happy to be playing pro football. And I think that's a really good pickup. I think that shows you Carolina. They're going to stay local, get local guys. And like I said, after that pick, you picked up some linemen. So that will help the Panthers this year. They're going to be a better team than they were last year.
I hope so. That was awful. And hopefully people will start coming back. That's going to be the key. A couple of wins will put some butts back in the seats.
I just don't know a whole lot about the coach. I don't really.
They're all a question mark.
But I like what he said. He said, Tepper's, I just need you to let me do my job. meaning keep your butt off the pill.
All right, Gamecock Central also reporting some other folks from the South Carolina receiver slash quarterback slash position man. Dacrion Joyner was invited to the rookie mini camp for Seattle, so he'll be going there. You've got USC's tight end Trey Knox. He'll be signing with the Vikings. Wide receiver Amarin Brown. He'll be signing with Cleveland. Furman tight end Mason Plein signed a free agency with the 49ers. And the Paladins offensive lineman Jake Johnning, he signed with the Raiders as well. Clemson center Will Putnam also signed with the Raiders. And South Carolina State defensive tackle, I'm going to get this wrong, but I'm going to try it anyway. Jablonowski Green?
Green, yes.
He was invited to minicamp. He'll be up there with the Colts. So most from ones invited free agency to the NFL.
And they're talking about he's going to do the thing that the last kid, defensive kid from South Carolina State did. What was it? Robert. Anyway, but he was a defensive guy like he was. They're talking about big things out of him. Amarin Brown, yeah. He worried me because of injuries. He stayed hurt a lot at USC.
But he is quick.
He's quick.
And that's just like Dacarion. Dacarion has kind of got caught up in a washing machine down there that great athlete. And they had too many spots for him to play. He couldn't play all of them in the same time. So
we had too many changes at coaches' staff. Yeah, I heard him too.
I think if Seattle would get him up there and say, okay, we want you to play receiver and hand him the book, or we want you to play running back. He could probably even play corner. He's got good size, good speed. He loves the game, so I look for big things coming out of him. But all these guys, that the tight ends, I mean, Knox going to Minnesota, that's a need at Minnesota. And Knox is a good tight end. Now, he doesn't have that world-breaking speed, but he will block. And he will catch the ball.
Blocking's key for him.
Yeah, and that's where they're going to need him in the run game. The tight end from Furman going to the 49ers, same type deal. They need a tight end that'll come in and block. But, a possession-type tight end, somebody that can block, come off the block, get a couple of yards, get the ball thrown to him, catch it, and – let's see what happens. But
same recruiter, by the way, at San Francisco, Austin Davis, who's a graduate of South Carolina State, by the way. Mm-hmm. So now you kind of see why the Debo Samuels or the South Carolina connection, there it is, it's Austin Davis. And so he comes in state and gets another one that you don't always see. I was thinking the receiver at Wofford might have been a free agent pickup, but
and
I hadn't heard anything
yet.
Be.
These are the guys that – some kind of way they just seem to, when they get to camp, they just want it a little bit more. So they outwork that guy next to them or behind them or in front of them. And next thing you know, they're on the roster. And that's where they want to be. And it's going to be interesting to see how these training camps and how a lot of these guys, when it all shakes out in the end.
All right, well, we'll follow along with those guys, find out how they're doing when minicamp gets underway here. And hopefully, say a prayer for Sam, guys, that he ends up making this team.
I was going to say, just don't look for the transaction page because that's where you're going to see most of those names. Oh, I'll tell you what I didn't find out that you probably knew. Who was Mr. Irrelevant this year? I didn't even see it. I mean, I watched a lot of the draft, but I didn't see Mr. Hold on a minute.
I don't remember.
If I go to the last pick on here, it should. I got to go see.
It should. You got a long way to.
Yeah.
Jalen Key, New York Jets with 257. So, and then 256 was Nick Garagarula from Carolina from Yale. So, we almost had him.
What? Well, the last time we had one, he's still playing.
Yeah.
So
he's kicking steel, man. Ryan. Yeah, this kid's a safety from Alabama, Jalen Key. Who I remember, so he's a pretty good player to be Mr. Irrelevant. So,
well, the thing is, he got drafted.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And I mean,
they can call it anything they want to. He's got a shot now, just like a lot of these other ones. So that's all these kids have worked for all these years for is to get a shot to make that NFL roster, to make that 53, 54, whatever it is, man roster right now. And
we were one away, man, from another one. Poor old Nick,
almost
man.
Had it.
Nick could have had it, man. An offensive lineman from South Carolina. He's next to Mr. Irrelevant, so if he don't make it, then he is going to be Mr.
Well, the thing about it, what's so weird, is we kind of make fun of it, him being right there next to the last. But you sit in these stadiums, and they start flashing up on the Jumbotron. Players, former players in the NFL.
There's another one you see.
And all of a sudden, it's offensive lineman, defense. People that you've forgotten, mm-hmm. You know, because you didn't hear their name every – the only time you heard their name, usually it was bad.
Especially last year.
Call for holding.
Especially last year.
So-and-so with a hands to the head or something, you know. So you don't hear about them. And then all of a sudden, you're looking up there, and it's like, good Lord, I didn't know we had that many players in the NFL, number one, and that many on the O-line and the D-line. And you're like, you're just shaking your head. So I wouldn't count him out.
No, there, you know, like I said, he goes to the Jets. We keep up with them fairly easy. And so,
they need the help. So, you know.
Like I said, you can look at it irrelevant two ways. You can do it like Stan was talking about with Ryan, with Suck Up. And you can look at Brock Purdy, quarterback at San Francisco, two, 3 years ago with Mr. Irrelevant and took him to the Super Bowl last year. So there's different ways to look at it. But all in all, man, it was a fun 3 days. Broke a record in Detroit. And I didn't see, man, I mean, I didn't see what's so bad about Detroit downtown, man. I didn't see it. I mean, there wasn't no trouble. I mean, it went off without a hitch. I didn't hear nothing about a shooting. You're right there at the port of 8 Mile. That's where Eminem's from, and he's resurrected his career, by the way. He's got 10 more albums he's getting ready to come out with because of the draft. So he must know guys he's going to say he's going to rap about and stuff. But all in all, man, it was a beautiful setup to have been downtown. And they were outside.
Yeah, they were outside.
That was amazing. To set the overall record at, what was it, 590-something thousand?
Thought it was higher than that.
It may have been higher. But like I said, I kept, the last – here's what you looked at from first day. Thursday, you got the same guy drinking the same big pitcher mug of beer that he just poured his beers into. And on Friday, he's got the same clothes on. Saturday, he's got the same clothes on. And his wife, he's on the phone at the very end. His wife's saying, you need to come on change clothes now because they continue to show you. Saying, that would be me. I'm not leaving that's my spot either.
I'm camping out. I'm sleeping here. All right. We're at Howard's on Main in Uptown Greenwood. We invite you to come on by anytime. Enjoy some great food, some great hospitality, some great music as well. And if you want to find out more, you need to check them out on Facebook. Go to Howard's on Main, and they'll let you know what the daily special is each day, as well as who's going to be playing here this coming Thursday, Friday, or Saturday.
Question today, what'd you get today? It's hamburger day.
I had my special today. I had the ham and cheese, the 52s.
He's hooked on 52s. So that's fine.
Had the ham and cheese on white cold. So that's my favorite.
Well, that way you just say I want my special, and they know it by now.
Well, they don't, because there's new folks working here all the time.
B-Rad knows it. Now,
Madison had worked here before, back in before the COVID shut everybody down. Madison was here, so not for long, but she's back, so she knows where home is.
You know, Caroline had to help her out with the special when I said the usual today.
She did it. So.
No, but always a lot of fun here at Howard's on Main. We invite you to come on down. As we said, if you want to find out the daily specials and what's happening in and around the music scene, you need to check out Howard's on Main at Facebook.
B-Rad had me. I got to tell this story, man. I'm sitting home watching the draft, and I look at B-Rad. B-Rad's got the band that you're playing. I see these dudes. I'm like, I recognize a bunch of those guys. They got hats backwards. They dance. Next time I know, I'm up there dancing with them. So be ready. We do watch the reels, man. I'm telling you. I keep up with the reels. And, yeah, I don't know how he stands right there. Keeps up with everybody at that bar. And he's got to have maybe a stand somewhere that he keeps his phone on to video because he don't miss a beat, man. He's over there shaking the containers, making mixed drinks, and filming the crowd. So he does it good. Who was that band, B-Rad, Friday? I was Pope and Bert, so they're really good. Like I said, I was even up dancing, watching the draft, so it's a lot better with B-Rad to get Dale.
That explains why he wasn't talking to me during the draft.
Well, we were talking, though. I mean, but like I said, you were waiting on defensive guy to get drafted, and then I was like, boom, here comes two of B-Rad's guys, man. B-Rad, best draft player for you, was it Rook or was it Wiggins from Clemson? See, I thought it was a rubber. I like that dude. Rrr, yeah.
Aroro.
I had as much trouble as what's his name did. Desmond Howard did. So we were on the same page with that one. But I knew where he was from. So.
Good deal. All right. So come on out to Howard's. Enjoy not only the food, but the great hospitality here as well throughout the week. So
Thursday, Friday again this week. So. Good crowd.
Let's talk about what's getting ready to happen. That is the playoffs. Dixie came this close on Friday night. I mean, this close. And Whitmire finally said, we finally did it. We finally got over the Dixie hump. Dixie softball ended up falling to Whitmire in the Region 2 1A title game on Thursday night to go along with all of that. And, that game was a shootout. All the way around. I mean, it went down to the very final inning with the Wolverines coming out on top in this one. But great defense and good pitching will take you a long way. And it just so happened that was Whitmire's night.
And that was at Greenwood, right?
Greenwood, correct.
Yeah. So, I mean, like I said, we drove by, saw the crowd. It was a good crowd there. They were missing Stan and Beverly. That's what was wrong. They went to watch something else at Carolina Forest.
They got lost over there in North
Little Beach. Yeah,
that's I'm telling you, that place that's a spot there that's going like crazy. So, but anyway, another good year for Sam. But was this was kind of what she would call rebuilding?
Yeah, I think, so. And I think Sam would admit. I mean, they'll still be in the playoffs. I think finishing number two, they should. And the road might be a little bit harder, but just get them all together and. Rattle the cage every once in a while, and you can win it.
Yeah, that might not be the best thing to happen to Whitmire. Kevin Minnett, of course, but when you draw that seed there, or when you win it that region there, I mean that gives you you're the one they're hunting now.
Yeah. So, as a matter of fact, where Shoals ends up in the District 1, they're going to be they're a third seed. And they're going to be taking on Whitmire in the softball playoffs for there. So if they beat MacBee, they got to go to MacBee. MacBee's always been a tough place to play as far as the round ball goes. So it'll be interesting to see how they do that. If they get that one, then they get probably the number one seed in High Point, who has to take on Calhoun County in that one. And then you got the loser bracket as well. So you could very well end up playing that same team twice. In the process. In the District 2, you got Whitmire, Wilson Elko, Brasher to go along with that. Another Lakeland's team that is going to be in it is Dixie. They're going to be in District 4. They get Great Falls, but they are at home. Yep. So that's the beauty of it. They'll be at Dixie. If they beat Great Falls, then they get the winner of the Wagner-Sally St. Joe's game. Wagner-Sally, the one seed, St. Joe's, the four seed in that one. And again, winner loser goes from there. And of course, all that you go through three, four games, and then all of a sudden you get into a whole new bracket. And you got to go another three, four games. Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how
that's
not
so well
out.
For Dixie right there. So it's to have that first home game.
Well, be with Great Falls, St. Joe's, Wagner-Sally. Dixie's got a good shot at all these games, and we know they've beaten St. Joe's already twice. So.
They probably won't play Wagner-Sally, if I had to guess.
So, it's Southside Christian and Louisville in that District 3 matchup that are going to be the biggest challenge. But you won't see them until you get to the upper lower brackets to go along with all that.
Yep.
So, we'll follow along there. In the 2A brackets, in girls softball, Abbeville ends up being a 4 seed. They're going to get Chesney. In softball, they got to travel up to Chesney in game number one.
And that's a long ride.
That's a long ride. If they do win and beat Chesney, then they got to take on the winner of Fox Creek Fairfield Central. So those are a little closer. But
I don't know about Fairfield
Fox
Central.
Fox Creek's pretty close.
Fox Creek, maybe an hour. Fairfield Central is a good little – that's a little haul, too.
Was that Winsboro?
Yeah, it's not near as far. Just on the other side of Newberry. For the most part.
Yeah,
I would the other side of Newberry.
Yeah. taking a look at District 3 matchup, you've got Strom Thurmond taking on Keenan, Landrum taking on Mid-Carolina, but over here on the District 4, you've got 96. They're going to be at home taking on Pillion, and in game number two, that matchup come Wednesday. as a matter of fact. And if they win, if the Wildcats can pull it off, they'll get the winner of Great Collegiate and Liberty, which let's just say it's going to be Great Collegiate.
Probably, yeah.
in that matchup to go all the way around. So we'll follow along with there. Also, the Saluda Tigers, can't forget about them. They'll be in the District 2 matched up with Batesburg-Leesville, the number 4 seed out of Region 3. And then if they end up winning, the Tigers do, they could face either Columbia, the 2 seed, or Blacksburg, the 3 seed. But either way, they're going to be at home.
It's teams they know,
they
though. For the most part, they know both of those teams, Batesburg-Leesville or Columbia.
And we could see Abbeville and Saluda matched up once they get to the district championships.
So. Little Ponytails. And what can we name Abby? They got to have a name. We got Little
Abbeville,
Ponytails.
They're
the Panthers.
Well, Ponytails are the ones that feed into the
system. I'm using that as. I know they're the Tigers. But I mean, we get tired of Tigers and Bears, Ohio, or Panthers. But like I said, I call them Little Ponytails. And they've added a lot to that team. And that's a spark plug team in Saluda, man. I'm telling you, they're really good in that girls' softball. So look out. Be ready. Looking that could be the team you look watching them play for the state.
All right. Well, we'll follow along and see. In 4A, the Greenwood Eagles are a one seed. Of course, they, I wouldn't say they walked or waltzed their way into the playoffs, but they're one of four number one seeds that are in there, along with Riverside, North Augusta, and Catawba Ridge as of right now. And where it looks like Greenwood is going to be, they'll be the number one seed. They'll get South Aiken. This is a team that they've beaten before. That they played before, and then I'm not saying it's a cakewalk, but it should win, and they'll probably end up playing Wade Hampton again in this one. So Wade Hampton's got York to go along with that.
York's pretty good, man.
The one thing about Greenwood, and having gone out and watched a few of the games and talked to some of the parents, I'm sitting there in the early innings, Greenwood can't hit nothing. They couldn't hit the way out of a paper sack. and the parents just sitting over there, don't worry about it. The other team's scoring run. We'll start hitting the ball about the fourth inning, fifth inning, we'll hit it, don't worry about it. Sure enough, here comes fourth, fifth inning, and they batting around two or three times and putting runs on the board. I'm saying, good Lord. this ain't good for the heart, people. Y'all need
cardiac kid, cardiac Eagles.
Yeah, pretty interesting. But also in that Region 1, Greenville is the number 2 seed. They're going to get Airport, the number 3 seed. Easley was the 3 seed. Mm. They've got to go on the road to Midland Valley.
That'll be fun.
We'll see how that ends up turning out.
And Greenwood did beat Greenville 3-1 to go undefeated and win the region the other night.
Yep.
And this was a game, again, Greenville scored first. And the Greenwood people just sit back watching. And then next thing you know, it's the sixth inning, they put two or three runs on the board. Okay.
It'll be interesting to see where it all unfolds, as they like to say. But those games end up starting, matter of fact, tomorrow night. Should be fun to watch all of those get underway. And then round two's games will be on Thursday. And then, of course, round three will be on Saturday, the 4th is Saturday, right?
Yes.
I think so.
And, all that leads into eventually the upper and lower state championships and all of that stuff. So,
Stan, the reason we don't worry about the runs is you like the pitching, Bo. We got the pitching.
Well, I was going to say, Aubrey usually keeps the other team in check. I mean,
that's where I'm not worried.
Get one or two, and then, like I say, but it's just – I don't know. It's just amazing. You sit there, and these girls, they'll strike out or they'll hit a weak little old ground ball somewhere. And then, like, the next inning, the next time they come up to bat, they hitting bullets. It's just like, well, let me see this pitcher live one time first, and then I'll figure out which pitcher I want to hit and where I want to go with it.
That's why I went with that. So that's what I think it is. I think you get a kid like Aubrey comes in, she pitches her way out of a jam, and she might be the leadoff hitter of the next round, and she comes up, boom. We got a double, single, maybe even a home run to start her own. And that's when pitchers hit for themselves. It's not being greedy. It's just trying to set the precedent to get your team hitting with you, and they can do that.
And this is the Greenwood team only has four seniors. So – this team. Now, granted, those four are the pitcher, the catcher, the shortstop, and the first baseman. So
almost your entire infield.
Montgomery's got a little work to do there, but those four are, you know, are the players. And they got other kids that are playing that are hitting the ball, and they'll steal a base on you if you're not careful. So,
all right, taking a look at baseball, the playoffs will get underway tomorrow night as well. And in District 2, you're going to have Ware Shoals, who just they played Emerald really well Friday night. I mean, really well. Ended up on the losing side by a run, but they're going to be a number one seed. They're going to be at home against C.A. Johnson. If they end up winning that game, then they get the winner of Calhoun County and St. Joe's in that matchup, 2-3 seed. So Ware Shoals will have the advantage as long as they keep winning in that regard.
That's what I'm talking about, that a loss doesn't always kill you. You know, gave them a home game, another home game, and it probably put Emerald in a worse spot, actually, wherever Emerald's going to be lined up at or who they're playing against. So.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
I'm too far ahead.
I'm trying to see if – I don't see any – oh, Dixie. I forgot about Dixie. They're going to be in District 4. They'll be a 2-seed taking on 3-seed Great Falls, so they'll be at home in baseball. They'll get the winner of Wilston Elko, the 1-seed, who takes on Brasher Junior College is the 4-seed there. So, you know, another that's favorable to me when you look at it. I like their chances.
Teams they know those teams, yeah. So
go along with that. All right, in the 2A bracket, because there are some doozy games that are going to be here in this one. 96 is a 4-seed in District 1. They're going to travel up to Chesney. A lot of 96 folks going to Chesney this week. That'll be on, well, tomorrow night. If they win and they end up beating Chesney, well, then they got the winner of Strom Thurmond, a 2-seed, and Keenan, the 3-seed. You know, this is a tough matchup, for all four teams in this regard. We'll see how the Wildcats end up on this one. But, you know, they got their hands full.
They do. I think the Peachfields won the two games they played in the season, before season the region started and everything else. But they'll be ready to play. I mean, they're ready to play some baseball. I mean, they're ready to go to playoffs now. You're playing now. So.
All right, Panthers are in District 3, and they'll be the number 3 seed, which means they'll be on the road. And you want to talk about a ride? They're going to Blacksburg on the 2 seed in this one. And then if they win, they get the winner of number 1 Fox Creek taking on number 4 Eclair. You know, we've seen Fox Creek, and they're kind of an up-and-down team. They really are. They've struggled all year. They've won games when they've needed to in their region. But, you know, Stan mentioned it with Carolina. It's you never know what you're going to get. Mm-hmm. as far as baseball-wise goes. So we'll see how the Panthers do. They should win this game against Blacksburg, though, I think. I don't think that should be an issue for them.
And I think they'll match up well with whoever they do play, if it is a Fox Creek. I mean, I'm sure, you know, if they get an Eau Claire, I mean, look out.
Yep, and much like softball and baseball, Saluda is on the same side as Gray Collegiate. Yeah, the Saluda Tigers are 2-seed. They get the 3-seed Batesburg-Leesville coming to their house. So this will be another black and blue kind of game that is there. Gray Collegiate to the 1-seed. They get the number 4-seed in Liberty coming in on this one. So
yeah, it's going to be another rivalry game, I guess, Saluda-Batesburg-Leesville. And then it just seems like every year it's Abbeville-Gray or Saluda-Gray and – whoever it is, but, you know, Liberty's, like I said, maybe if that game was up the road, I mean, but it's not. It's going to be in Columbia, so we'll see. Like I said, I'm not going to always just give it a Gray, you know that.
Well, Saluda played Strom Thurmond extremely tough both the games that they ended up playing. Saluda's not going to be a team that's going to end up backing down from one way or the other, so
right.
Gray just better be prepared for what they're about to face, because once they get past Liberty, I would say Saluda and Batesburg-Leesville would be a tough out for them.
Well, when you get to the baseball playoffs, this is where you find out who can really coach, because with the rules that the baseball has as far as pitch count, and, you know, you can throw this many pitches and then you can come back and this many, and it's so confusing. Well, not confusing. I mean, you understand it once you read them all. But you, it's not like softball where you can keep throwing your best pitcher game after game. Your number one is going to come in. If he hits that pitch limit, he's done for it. You know, you might have another next game to play in 2 days, but he may not be your starting. You know, he's going to be sitting over there on the bench beside the coach counting pitches. And you're going to have to look at twos and three. This is where your pitching staff comes into play. And you've got to have that one, two, three. You've got to have those guys. We say coming out of the bullpen, but usually it'll be the shortstop coming over to take over, or the second baseman, or bring in an outfielder or something. But when it's playoff baseball in high school, it's coaches have to make some.
Particularly in the smaller schools.
Smaller schools. Yeah. You know, okay, I'll let him throw 40 pitches. How many innings can he get me in 40 pitches? Let's get some one ball outs. You know, that's what we want.
Want some ground balls.
Yeah, we don't want every count. We don't want every count going 3-2 and or throwing 6 and 8 pitches to one batter. No, we don't want that. Let's just throw strikes, let him hit it, get him out, and keep his pitch count down. We'll get to a certain, maybe the third inning, pull him out, so I got him for 3 innings in the next game if I have to have him. Because this is that kind of one and done now. I mean, it's for all the marbles, so you got to shoot your marbles the right way.
All right, in 3A baseball playoffs begin tomorrow as well. You've got Emerald, the 4 seed, taking on Powdersville, the number 1 seed. So Emerald will be going on the road tomorrow. And
that's a tough game.
That's a tough game, but you've got two great pitchers that you're going to throw one of them at. I mean, and then you save the other one for either Seneca and Chapman, which is a 2-3 seed. To go along with that, you got a good chance of making the championship game in the district before you go to the state bracket.
Well, I was going to say, you're not in a must-win situation because you got two pitchers. Mm-hmm. And you got two pitchers that can turn around and hit the ball if they don't pitch that day. I mean, but like I said, that's a tough game because you know the Jackson kid's going to pitch for Powdersville, and it's probably going to be the Merida kid or the Howard kid pitching for Emerald. So it'd be interesting to see whoever wins that game is definitely going to be in the sit-back game waiting to see who they play. And I think that could be really good for Emerald if they can get past Powdersville.
That'll be the first game in District 4. Mm-hmm. We'll end up seeing who goes there. And then the Clinton Red Devils, they're in 1 seed in District 2. They get to stay at home, taking on the 4 seed in the Wren Hurricanes.
So. That should be a really good matchup.
Yep. And the winner there gets the 3 seed Travelers Rest or the 2 seed Daniel. If this was football, that would be like death row.
You got to think about it, though. You got a lot of your pitchers and your outfielders are from that football team, and Daniel has a really good baseball team and a really good baseball coach. So like Stan's talking about, a lot of times it does come down to your coaching and his trust in his pitching coaches and the way you make a lineup out. So.
Well, and it's just like Emerald with 2 pitchers. You know, okay, I got 2 quality guys. I can get 1 game out of those 2 guys and still have both of them for my next game.
You can.
But I got to be careful. I got to make sure my pitch count, my innings, and, you know, okay, I start Will, and he's pitching great. Okay, let's let him keep going. You know, I still got my number 2 guy. I can pitch him in the second game. I got enough confidence. But if Will's kind of off and on, maybe, you know, throwing a few too many pitches, you know, and a lot of this could be, and I don't like to blame it on the umpire, but some umpires have a wider strike zone than others, and this gets evident. And it's if you start throwing pitches that you think are strikes and everybody sees it and he's calling them balls, your pitcher gets frustrated and next thing you know, he's blown his limit of pitches and you having to bring somebody else in.
And then you start calling for the Major League Baseball to rank the umpires.
That's why I put an umpire on spot last week. We had an umpire on last week, by the way, and I had to put him on spot about, you know, when you really need that pitch to be a strike and you have to make it a strike. Mm-hmm. For that pitcher, it gets hard then. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I don't make the strikes for the pitcher. So, yeah. Ty Bynes told the truth. I'm going to lie every minute to get out of that game. Yeah. I'm going to tell you, if it's right here, and that, I mean, it may be a ball, but I'm going to call a strike to help that pitcher out because we're not going to be here all night.
Yeah.
So,
all right, let's move on to the 4A bracket for baseball and what's going on, because we got a couple of teams. This is gonna be so much fun if you're gonna follow 4A and go with this. Greenwood Eagles are a 2 seed. They're going to get game number 2 in the upper state. They're going to be taking on the 3 seed in Midland Valley.
Like last year. That's okay. They played first game last
pretty,
year.
Pretty similar last year. Yep. All right. You win that game. Okay. So it goes to game 7, gets the winner of, get this, number 4 seed Northwestern. Or do you take on your arch rival in the number 1 Lawrence Raiders?
I think Coach is going to say, bring me Lawrence every day.
Yep.
He likes that. Coach Baker loves that. Because they know each other so well. I mean, yeah. And to me, Stan, that's a team you played a good bit this year anyway.
Yeah.
You know that team. I don't know Northwestern that well, so I'd rather play a team I know that I played. And I know it's hard to beat a team as many times
well,
as
you played. Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. The problems with playing teams that you played multiple times, it's in your favor if they beat you.
Yeah.
But if you beat them, it's in their favor. Mm-hmm. So let's go back and look at the score sheet.
I think this might be split.
Well, Lawrence is the number 1 team right now.
Yeah. So we know they beat Greenwood.
So they're going to, yeah.
And I know Greenwood beat them 1 game. So, yeah.
So you know, it's a toss-up game, and let's go play. And
this will be a matchup of really good players, pitchers and hitters in this game. I can't wait.
And then if it ends up being Greenwood and Northwestern, they may be a little bit, the football team may be wanting the baseball team and act a little revenge. If y'all can score 60 on them, score 60. And don't even
That's
when
right.
When you hit the ball, don't stop at first. Be digging
just keep
for
going.
A second. Yeah.
Just keep digging.
Yeah.
So that the Lawrence Northwestern, that's a 1-16. Greenwood versus Mid Carolina is an 8-9. Lower part of the upper state bracket is even more interesting when you got North Augusta, the 5 seed, taking on the 12 seed in Greenville, as well, and then the 4 seed Catawba Ridge ends up hosting Eastside in this one. You know, bit of a drive for Eastside, who's used to being at home over the last couple of years. This is a different year for them. They're kind of in a rebuilding season.
I know that what I've been following as far as Northwestern goes, they went through that region pretty easily. Not easily, but easily. But so it should be pretty fun, Tom. I think Coach Baker, we know he's very impressed with what the kids have done because it's all year, it's our team. We do it our way. These are my boys. And like I said, these boys don't want it to come to an end yet. They want to continue playing at Greenwood. I think they're strong enough that they can continue to make a noise.
They should be able to. Easley, who was the number 1 team in Region 1 that ended up beating Greenwood, they get Aiken. Aiken's going to have to go all the way up to Easley for this one. The winner of that game will get the 6th seed in Greer, taking on the 11th seed in Lancaster to go along with that. But you can't rule out Westside. They're a 15th seed. They have to go to the 2 seed Airport in this one. But Easley and Westside, they could meet, you know, possibly 3 games down the road here.
And like I say, you throw Greer and all of those, I don't care what you say, man. You're that close to the other school, that's a rivalry. Especially when playoffs hit. The diamond in that one that you was talking about was Lancaster to me. In that region.
Right.
Or in that seeding for the playoffs. But then you get on Lowcountry, man, you got a stellar baseball stuff down in there with Somerville and those teams down there ready to go.
Yeah, it's going to be chaotic. But we're not done yet, folks, with the playoff brackets, because let's talk about soccer. There's all kinds of sports that are going on. Soccer is huge. We're going to go and start with the girls in 2A, 1A, 2A. When you look at it, Dixie and 96 going to square off the 8-9 seed. That'll be tomorrow afternoon as well. The winner of that one either will get to stay home against Fairfield or they'll go on the road up to Christchurch. Either way, not too bad of a drive, but you'd like to keep it here in the Lakelands if you possibly can in that regard. And then Newberry, they get to go on the road to take on the 5th seed in Gray Collegiate. That is there, and the Saluted Tigers are going to be a 14 seed there on the road going to Greer Middle College. And to tell you the truth, Saluda should probably win that game. The girls should probably win.
They should be favoring it, yeah.
Should be.
I've got some friends that are up there from that area, and they're all telling me how lucky Greer Middle has been. So hopefully the Saluted Tigers should be able to walk away with a win on that one. Waiting on the mice in my computer to run a little faster here.
We're going to have to charge them up.
I'm going to have to do something.
That's still all right, Monday.
But in 3A, you look at the girls' bracket in soccer, and the Lady Vikings, they're number one seed from Region 4. They're going to host Fountain Inn. So Fountain Inn doesn't have too far to go. You know, a school that's been in existence for now, what, 4 years? Three, four years.
That's about right.
To go along with that, if Emerald wins, they're going to wait on the winner of the 2-3 seed in Traveler's Rest taking on West Oak.
So that could be interesting.
It could be interesting. Yep. And then provided Emerald gets by them, there's a possibility a rematch with the Clinton Red Devils.
I think they would welcome that seed challenge.
So we'll see how all that ends up. And then taking a look at the girls' 4A soccer matchup, because Greenwood Eagles ended up making it in this one. They are the third seed. Well, I should say they're the 12th seed overall, so they'll be going and taking on the number two team out of Region 4, who's the fifth seed, and that being North Augusta. And if anything, you've got to continue the tradition of beating those Yellow Jackets down there in North Augusta.
Yep.
I mean, the football team has started something. We just got to keep it rolling.
In every sport.
Yeah, and every one of them that are there. So the winner of that one's going to await Catawba Ridge, who had a bye, or is going to have a bye tomorrow night. So, you know, up there at the Snake Pit. And did they call the
Snake Pit football,
too?
I imagine they play on the same field. Yeah. So
we'll see how that goes. But that'll be fun to see. And then a possible matchup once again with Easley or maybe Eastside. A couple of games down the road.
Oh, we know how good Eastside's been in their sports over the years. Are you surprised, though? You're talking about, like, the new schools that are there. Catawba Ridge, let's talk about them. Because we played them abundantly in sports football and everything else. But
well, and they're getting the better of Northwestern and South Point and all
those
others.
And that's where I was going when you stole that thunder. And I'm like, they've almost made you forget about the Rock Hill teams. Mm-hmm. Because they are that good. And it seems like every sport that you've been through today, Catawba Ridge has been there pretty much in every one of the sports. So, I mean, they're doing the right way up there to be a new school. So,
all right, so we've got that underway. In boys soccer, we'll start with the 1A because this actually gets underway tonight, as a matter of fact. And when you look at teams that we've got that are there, only McCormick from the Lakelands is going to be in the boys 1A bracket. They're a 21 seed taking on the 12 seed in Brasher Middle College. If they end up winning this one, they've got a team that gets a bye, and that being Southside Christian. So they're going to be tough. And then from there, to possibly take on the number 4 seed overall in Royal Live Oaks might be another one. That'll be a tough, but that's another one of those new schools that.
And we kind of let McCormick slide in soccer this year. I really didn't realize they were that successful.
Yeah, been doing good. Boys 2A soccer bracket. Of course, Great Collegiate's the number one seed overall again.
No.
No, I couldn't believe it either. You know, Landrum is the 16th seed, so they'll probably advance there. They'll wait the winner and find out as Saluda, the Tigers, have to go on the road, the men's side, to play soccer at Mid-Carolina.
Sounds fun there. And you know I'm pulling for whoever they're playing.
Yeah. And then Abbeville's 13th seed. They take on the 4 seed in Greer Middle College. The winner of that one will await the 5-12 matchup between Columbia and Fox Creek that is there. And then possibly, if we hope and fingers crossed, they could see Abbeville and Saluda coming up on Friday night.
That'd be fun.
In the quarterfinals.
That would be fun. So.
That would be a fun one to see. Looking to see just to make sure I've got everybody here. Newberry is a 7th seed. They'll take on the 10th seed, Silver Bluff, who will await the Batesburg-Leesville-Keenan winner that is there, and that's the lower half of the bracket to go along with it. So we transfer over to the 3A section because the Emerald Vikings, the men's side, they are 3 seed out of Region 4, so they'll go on the road to the 2 seed in Southside. Not too bad of a drive that's going to be up there, but this to me is a game that they could definitely win.
Is this Southside Christian or
no?
Southside
this is
High
Southside High
side.
School.
That could be trouble.
Yeah, Southside Christian is that'll be down there in the 1A schools until next year, and then it'll change all over. But Emerald should win this game at least by a goal, if not more. And they'll take on, of course, either the number one seed Daniel or the number four seed out of Region 3, the Travelers Rest, and the Devil Dogs that are there. But more likely it's going to be Daniel. And that would pose a big matchup, I think, for the Vikings.
Here's the problem with that team right there. Their girls' team is probably better. I hate to say that, but their girls' team probably can beat the boys' team if they all let them practice together because, like I said, both teams are on fire right now. And I wouldn't want to be playing either one of these teams right now because they are by far the best two soccer teams, girls and guys, in 3A. But on the boys' side, I mean, you have to look at that really like who would you really rather play? And, I mean, that comes down to who's doing what, where, and when. And like I said, we definitely want them to stay at home. That's the main thing in that. So
yeah, those games taking place tonight. My side mentioned Clinton is a two seed. They're going to be hosting Fountain Inn, the three seed as well, and they get the winner of the Chapman-Pendleton matchup. And if Emerald can pull it off Daniel, it could be Clinton and Emerald coming up in the quarterfinals.
Sounds fun, man. Like this is really these. I have been really impressed with both girls and guys soccer at Emerald this year, and with Greenwood. I mean, they've done what their job, man, that they're supposed to do.
They've done good. Well, the tennis has been underway already a week that is there, and the Greenwood Eagles have been fantastic in the world of tennis. They ended up with a bye. The first round. The second round, they got Wade Hampton. They end up winning that one 4-1. And now they got to get ready for a tough matchup as they're going to get South Aiken, a team that they've already faced as well. So, and beaten as well. So South Aiken sitting there going, well, South Aiken got by Lawrence in order to get to this matchup last week. They ended up beating Lawrence 5-1, a team that Greenwood beat them by the same margin. This, you know, with Greenwood hitting on all cylinders, you should see some big matchups. You got Thomas Chandler that is there. You've got Ali Azeem will be a big threat in all of that. You've got the Kumar, who has just been dynamite and lights out with everything that he's been able to do. Whit Smith, another one that is there. And I know I'm leaving somebody out, but I can't think of it as of right now. But in world of tennis right now, those are the guys that are getting it done.
I'm in love with his team, by the way. I'll leave it at that.
You know, you win this game, and then all of a sudden you get to the semifinals, and you could be facing either Riverside or York in this one. And Riverside's had their way of things. Of course, they're the number one seed overall in the upper state. They had a bye, and then they went up 6-0 over Greenville. They've got a York team that they're facing. York has kind of struggled a little bit. They had a bye in the first round, but got by Aiken 4-3. So Greenwood's got a little bit of the, you know, I think an easier road than than York has. But Riverside's still going to be a tough out for no matter who ends up getting it in the semifinals for a right to go to the state finals in that one. So we'll find out. And then on the other side, if you want to look at it, Myrtle Beach takes on James Island. AC Flora gets Lucy Beckham. So further south you go, the better they get at tennis. That's been my experience, correct?
Yep. Yeah.
You're right.
To go along with it. And, guys, that's what I got as far as the playoffs go as of right now. Did I leave anybody out? I hope I didn't.
Your Braves still playing well?
Braves, Braves were playing well. They beat Cleveland 2-1 in the three-game series. Number one team with the best winning record in the American League. But now we go on the road, and there go the Braves go to Seattle starting tomorrow. And then from there they get to go, and this is going to be the fun one, they get to three-game series with the Dodgers.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Oh,
that sounds fun.
So will they see a Tony for the first time? That's going to be the big question. And how can that offensive lineup, are they going to rock his world or is it going to be the
other way around? It's going to be Braves have got to keep their pitching staff healthy. That's the only thing is about that. I think they're going to be able to hit the ball fine. Yeah. You just got to keep your backs freed up, his arm loose and ready to go, and the other guys are got to start hitting. And I'm telling you, sooner or later, Acuna's going to get on a hotter streak than he's on now. I can tell you that.
He's only got one home run on the season
so
far.
That's what I'm saying.
He's
getting ready to get on a streak.
Got everybody a little worried.
Yeah. And like we were joking about, like Kentucky got – well, we ended up getting what, one or two out of Kentucky stand in Columbia this week.
You took two out of three.
And the coach is mad because they started throwing beer and stuff on them. All I do is open my mouth and get all I can get. But, I mean, I hate it happen. Stan, and you and I were talking about it. We have seen that happen before. It happens everywhere, and unfortunately, it is a black eye.
It happens at Kentucky also.
It's a black eye. But he's taking it to Sankey.
Well.
And everything Sankey's had on his desk, he ain't done nothing about yet. So if he does something about this one, Cruella, I'm coming.
Here it is. I mean, this is the first time that Kentucky had been one road on Sunday.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he gets beat 10-0 in 7. He's not worried about what his players are saying. He's worrying about what some fans saying to him. I mean, come on, coach. Get your priorities where they ought to be, on the field with the players. You done got beat 2 out of 3, and you were the number 4 team in the nation.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting where Clemson falls. They go up, they go down when it comes out later today. You know, they ended up winning the series 2-1 against Louisville this weekend, but they suffered that loss
in Georgia in
15 innings. So we'll see where they end up.
And that helped Georgia more than it hurt y'all probably. So I mean, I hate to say that, but good times, man.
Let's see.
Good weekend.
Yeah.
All right, enjoy your week. We're going to come on out and visit the good folks here at Howard's on Main. We'd love to see you out here as well. He's Stan Spivey, the coach. That's Chris Cox, and I'm Tom Carroll. Have a great week, everybody.